Won't you spare me over another?
From the heart of villainy here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
We'll go with it. It's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man here on the Podzilla 1985 Network.
Okay, are you going to continue this voice?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
And, you know, I understand where Jesse comes from because it really is easy to slip into that I want to sound like Hunter Hendricks voice. But here's the tip, kids. You're not Hunter Hendricks, and you never will be. And that's a shame I have to live with daily. So it is the last week of Villainous Month here on Podzilla 1985, Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. And I want to say it's been a great month. We've done some great shows, a lot of fun. A lot of great answers from the audience, from you guys. We really appreciate it. And, of course, we couldn't do any of this without the support of our fans and the people that really push for us, including Villainous Grounds, which is the sponsor of Villainous Month here on Podzilla 1985. And I've been doing the plug for this thing since we started, and I've done a great job. So let's give me a round of applause real quick. Good job, Shannon.
Yes.
But tonight, I'm going to pass it over to the Five-Star Man because he's got a five-star story to tell about Villainous Grounds. Asa, take it away.
No, it's such hype.
You'll never live up to it.
I know, right? Just like in life.
I'm the best villain.
Whee! So, I just wanted to share the story about why, personally, I love them so much up at, Villainous Grounds.
Yeah.
Is because I think Hunter might have been the first one to be like, oh, there's actually a comic book store opening up in Perryville soon. And I'd gone up there a handful of times. They were always really friendly. They had, a really good selection of new stuff coming out. It almost felt like everything new was coming out they had.
Yeah.
And the Cape selection for comic book stores was pretty lackluster.
Hastings and like one comic
book
shop.
There's a couple other shops.
Yeah.
They're not really super reliable. So, you know, I'd been kind of trying to find a place that I could really, you know, rely on and, you know, really enjoy. And I was a little bit bummed out that it was 30 minutes away, but I was like, it's just kind of a cool thing. So I had a really small pull list and it was mostly Batman and maybe one or two other just books. I only had like three or four things at the time. And this was just before Rebirth had started. And I kind of, and as Rebirth was coming out and I was slowly realizing how big of a deal it was actually going to end up being, cause I really didn't know what it was. The actual DC Comics Rebirth book, that one shot, came out. And I was like, that might be worth picking up since it seems to be such a big deal. Everywhere in Cape was sold out. And it's like, oh, so I might be kind of out of luck. So I think I called him or I sent him a Facebook message like, hey, if you happen to have an extra copy, I know they're selling out really quick. I'd appreciate it if you could put it aside for me and I'll pick it up the next time I come up there. And Dave actually told me, oh, well, you had been talking to us about it, so I went ahead and just put it in your box right away. And that right there is what immediately sold me.
Yeah.
Because I was not, like, I mean, now if the fans at home knew the amount of money I dropped or the size of my pull list.
It's pretty ridiculous. Just Podzilla as a whole, how much we buy up there.
It's silly. Like, it's irresponsible even, is the word that I will go with the amount of money I spent on comic books. But this was not the case at the time. So they did not owe me a thing. Like, they just wanted to do it because they are genuinely nice people who care about every single person who comes into their store.
Yeah.
And that just absolutely blew me away. And that's what immediately I was like, okay, well, you have a customer for life and I am going to proceed to tell everyone I know about this place. Just today at Barnes & Noble, I was talking to comics about one of the people that worked there and I was like, oh, there's this place up in Perryville. You should definitely check it out. It's great.
What I love about them is that they're very nice to us. Mm-hmm. The Podzilla 1985 crew. But they were nice to us before they even knew what the hell we did.
Yeah.
Before they ever knew that we had our own podcast, before they knew that we were coming through you live through the power of the internet. And I just made that up. No, I didn't. I stole that. before all of that, they were super nice to me. They were super nice to all of us. And they really do just knock it out of the park every time we go up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, we went to them asking if we can promote you on the show.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't say, hey, can you plug us? No, no, no. We said, hey, can we plug you? Which sounds awful. And I really wish I had chosen better words for that. But the point remains that Villainous Grounds is an awesome place. Don't forget, this Saturday is their big comic event. They're going to have sales on comics. Jeremy Hahn's going to be there. The coloring contest this Saturday is going to be huge for them. Mm-hmm. We also, Podzilla's going to be up there recording Nerd Up on a special day with Jeremy Hahn. It's going to be fantastic. You and Jesse and Dalton, I believe.
Yes.
And, Mandy, maybe. Anybody
I think it's
else?
Just the three of us.
Just the three of you guys.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure how that's going to go. The most recent understanding is that it's going to be kind of like a split show.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do the Jeremy Hahn stuff while we're there and then record the rest of Nerd Up.
On Sunday, maybe Sunday. Like normally.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not a hunt, but I'm not sure. That's going to be up to Jesse.
I want to hear it. It sounds fantastic. I also want to remind you guys, not only do I want you to go up and visit Villainous Grounds anyway, because they are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everything we say about them on this show is true. But right now, if you've ever wanted to get a taste of Mr. 100, you can go to Villainous Grounds. Well, not right now. They're closed. Right.
Yes.
But if you're listening to this anytime between their opening hours,
if you're there
right now, just go now.
During normal hours,
just before 7 p.m.
And tell them you want the Mr. 100. That's the drink of the week, named after yours truly. It's a great honor. I sound arrogant about it, but I honestly am so humbled by this. Like, I don't know if this is a huge deal for anyone else that this happens to, but for me to have a drink named after me at like my favorite coffee place is unbelievable. I got giddy. Because I made a joke about it on the show. I was like, yeah, go get a Mr. 100 coming soon. And then Mary Jo, you know, messaged me the next day and was like, well, what is it on Mr. 100? And I thought, oh my God, is this going to happen? So thank you. Thank you so much. And go to Villainous Grounds, please.
Yes.
Great place. And we are going to kick off this show. It's Miscellaneous Week, or Allie, as Asa would say.
Anonymous
villains.
I've gotten it right the last two times. Me English are good.
We're going to talk about our miscellaneous villains tonight. Anything we left off the previous shows of, we're also going to dip into TVs, books, all that kind of stuff that's coming up on this show. We got Billy in the Peanut Gallery, the King of the Peanuts. I like that. King Peanut. And then Ethan's actually over in our interactive fun zone. He's playing the Sony VR. I like calling it that. Kids love squalor. So we've got a bunch of fan feedback here, even though I posted it 10 minutes ago. Because I forgot. Yeah. We've been so busy. We actually went to Villainous Grounds before we came and did the show. And I got the Mr. 100 for the first time. And by the way, it is fantastic. I'm not just saying that because it's named after me. That is by far my favorite drink I've had there so far. And I really like the Samoa. So for me to actually replace the Samoa, but it's so good. It's so delicious. Allie, you tasted Mr. 100. What did you think?
It was really good, yeah.
Of course.
If it wasn't for the fact that I love their chai tea lattes and I can only get it every now and again when I go up there, I would have picked up the Mr. 100.
Asa also got a Mr. 100.
I did.
And you liked it?
Also very good.
The internet's not wrong, folks.
And that's the thing.
The Mr.
Like,
100 is delicious.
And, you know, I've even talked to them up there. It's like I almost feel guilty because I'm not a huge coffee drinker, coffee fan in general. But everything that they've made for me has been – because normally I get the chai tea.
Which I love.
Is so good. But anytime I get something, I decided, you know, try something coffee related. It's always great.
And that's the reason I went up there originally, because you guys were going for comics. I just wanted coffee. Because yeah. I don't know if, I believe it was David.
Yeah.
I don't remember if he remembers this, but when we were at Comic-Con there at the Osage Center, I met him for the first time, and I think
both
it was before
us.
They opened.
Yeah, it was, no, they were just opening.
Were they
it
just
was
opening?
Like, because they gave us a menu and yeah. everything, letting us know what they have up there.
And he let me sample their coffee,
that
like
he
their
brought
personal coffee.
For him and yeah. some other people that had booths.
And that made me a fan. Like, I was like, that is so kind of you. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. I don't know if he remembers that, but yeah, that was me that got that cup of coffee from you. And, yeah, I love the coffee. It's so good. We can't spend the entire show talking about coffee. We're talking about villains.
We could, though.
Not heavenly things. That's next month on Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man. Our favorite...
coffee shops?
That's a short
That's
show.
That's a short list.
But we can still fill it talking about this one coffee
talking
shop.
Talking about this one coffee shop. We're going to get it started. We got your fan feedback. We're going to say that in a little bit. That'll give you guys more time
to fill in your answers.
I wish this was live, because it would be a lot funnier. But since it's not, we're going to start off with the five-star man, Asa Gray. Asa?
Yes.
Again, in no particular order, I don't think.
I think I'm doing my favorite one last.
Favorite one last?
Yeah. Okay. Which, I mean.
It seems that's how it's been.
I can guarantee you that it's not going to be on any of the other comments, so I'm not super worried about it being spoiled. But
this is one I'm thinking it is?
Maybe. I don't know.
You still debating?
No. I mean, I know which one it is, but I don't know which one you're going to guess because we pretty much know. I went over my list earlier.
Everyone knows theirs. Well, we all know yours. We don't know Allie's. She's kept it close to her chest. All right. All right. So start us off.
But my first one, he's on the miscellaneous. I almost did it. he's on the miscellaneous list because he easily could have been a video game villain, a comic book villain, or a movie villain. And that is Roro Saki Shredder, Master Shredder.
Sensei.
Senpai.
All right. I'm going to ask you first off.
Okay.
Because this is a complex, and this is one of the few answers I can ask this question on. Mm-hmm. Which is your favorite version of Shredder?
My favorite version is Turtles in Time.
The game?
The game. stop it.
I'm so sorry. Triggered.
Definitely the game. Just his design was awesome. The story was, you know, it was a Ninja Turtle.
It's a video game.
Super Nintendo video game.
Yeah.
Especially the Super Shredder design, because I had, I don't know, like, little kid me, when I finally could get past Slash.
Yeah.
That's what because it's favorite villains. Not to get not PG about Slash.
No one likes Slash. Although he was awesome looking.
He was awesome looking, but
I don't like him in the new version, by the way.
Didn't they change him?
Yeah, he looks cool, except he's got this big hulking body and this tiny little peanut head. He's TJ Perkins from the Downloads on 2K17. Oh. Yeah. So if you like this Shredder, what you're saying is you like the cartoon Shredder, because it's the same Shredder.
Yeah, yeah.
They took the cartoon Shredder and then gave him the Turtles 2 movie Super Shredder form.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Which looked awesome.
Which, and, by the way, trivia question for you guys. Asa.
I already know the answer.
Do you know who played Super Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2?
Too Sweet. Big Sexy. Kevin Nash.
That is absolutely correct.
Tour
Squad filming it.
But so, I don't think I saw the movie yet, the Turtles 2. So Super Shredder blew my mind as a kid when I was playing with my friend.
So you were unaware of what Super Shredder was?
Yeah. And then so seeing him, he had the fire powers, he had the ice powers. It was awesome. But really, it's just his, as a little kid, his design, even in the campy, like 80s, 90s cartoon, but still, it's just like he's covered in blades.
He was a ninja covered in cutlery.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like everything is going to hurt.
Did you ever hear the story about Shredder? Like how they came up with him?
No.
I'm going to mess the story up a little bit, but basically, one of the creators, I don't know if it was Laird or Eastman, was like looking at a cheese grater and wanted to create a villain based around that. So that's why he had all of the gear and why he's the Shredder.
Right.
You know? I think my favorite version of the Shredder, because the cartoon version is the best. It has to be. Yeah, he was an idiot.
Yeah.
But he's iconic. And the fact that James Avery for The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air voiced him was so awesome. But the first movie, Shredder. The first original movie.
That just stoic kind of
scowl.
Angry.
Yeah. Even though he went out like a punk. Because basically, he beat all of the turtles. He beat them down.
Yeah.
But then he saw Splinter and he just ran at him, out and got flipped over. And then, by the way, Casey Jones then murdered him with a trash compactor, except he didn't.
I was going to say, or did he?
Because Shredder's sneaky. He got out of a trash compactor. Anyway.
But yeah. But every version of Shredder, I can't think of a version that I didn't enjoy.
The first Turtles movie. The remake. The reboot.
Originally, yes, before everyone was like, no, you can't have a businessman be Shredder. I actually didn't mind it. I liked the idea of him being able to throw those knives and then the magnetic or whatever that.
Yeah. It's like William Fichtner said in the movie, like, we combined your suit with like modern technology. So yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That was
I actually didn't mind that. That was actually one of my favorite parts of that movie, actually.
I just wish he would have been Shredder.
Yeah. No.
Well, here's why. I wish he would have been Shredder because it makes more sense of why the suit was mechanical because he can't do that stuff. So he needed. You know, something. And then in the sequel, you could have brought in the real Shredder, which would have been his master. Instead, if you've seen the new movie, which I recommend because I enjoyed it.
I still need
thoroughly.
To. I'm waiting for it to come out on Blu-ray. I'll probably rent
it. Is.
It is.
Is it already?
I've got it. You can borrow it.
No, I have it.
No, she's got it.
Okay. You can borrow it.
Okay.
I forget she bought it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm on it.
But they bring Shredder back, but he looks completely different.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like they got a different actor. Because the Shredder in the first movie was brought in last minute just to put those scenes in. Because people complained. But it would have made more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Shredder. That's an excellent choice. Did I put him on any of my list before?
I don't
remember.
Because I wanted to put him on the comics list, but I didn't. I don't think. I left him off. Because the Shredder in the comics was.
I don't know.
I can't remember. Cody. I'm sorry.
Cody.
Cody, please.
But no, yeah. So he's always been one of my favorite villains just in general. He's always looked awesome. He's always just been a badass for the most part. They recently, I don't know if they revealed him or not, but they've been teasing that the new Nickelodeon series They're actually going to bring in Super Shredder. So I'm pretty excited.
Well, that new Nickelodeon series is just a lot of it's such a throwback to the old stuff.
And it's so good. Like I just, when Hastings, that was one of the things that I bought because you showed it to me. I showed it to you. The first two seasons, and I really need to watch it.
Yeah, I wish I had bought the other one. Stupid Shannon thought, okay, I can wait till it goes a little bit cheaper, not knowing Hastings was going to ship off the rest of their new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reason they went out of business. All right, we're going to move on to Alethea. Alethea?
Yes.
What's your first pick?
So for the first one, I'm going to do the one that most people would connect it to a movie, but it's also a musical that Disney kind of took and made it into a movie.
Can I guess?
Yes.
I don't know. Did Disney ever do Cats? Is it a cat?
No. Okay.
They did the Aristocats.
Is it an Aristocat?
I actually loved that movie as a child, but no.
So it was a musical that Disney turned into a movie?
Yeah.
And then you like one of the villains from it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I give up.
Well, it's Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay.
Because he's such a dick.
You can't say that.
I did.
We're trying to keep the show PG.
Oh God,
I've done
sorry.
Such a good job of it.
I was going to say, it's like, I didn't think it would be you. You're supposed to be the chosen one.
Hey, what was said last week by him?
Thanks, Villainous Grounds?
Yeah, probably not.
But, because whenever the Beast is seen as the bad guy from the beginning, but he transforms into a good character, but Gaston is just an awful, awful human being that is conceited and just wants Belle for her looks and to have her and not for the fact that she
How does that make him a villain?
Stop it.
I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry.
Yeah.
I kind of like what you're saying, like Frozen gets a lot of credit a lot of the time for making the traditional Disney prince the villain, like, and really turned it on its ear. But I definitely think Beauty and the Beast did that first.
Gaston.
Because he absolutely fits the bill. He hits all of the criteria of a Disney, charming Disney prince.
Handsome, that, charismatic, muscly.
And,
continue.
There's like in the movie, at least, you see Gaston, who is like, women shouldn't read books. That's not what you should do. Yeah. And the Beast is asking her to read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please, read it again. And that's just another way to show the Beast isn't the bad guy in this, even though he started out as not a great character. Gaston is the bad guy in this.
Crack did a really good, because their After Hours series is really good about picking apart the minutia and like kind of turning everything on its ear. They did a good job of kind of like, well, no, Beast isn't as sympathetic as you think he is, but no, Gaston, like, he's still what the word you used earlier.
Really?
But at the same time, like, it's very easy to see things from his perspective, which I think makes
him... From Gaston's perspective?
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, everything he's doing is super wrong, but in his own eyes, like, he's the hero.
Yeah, in his own eyes, he thinks he's great, but he's also a conceited character.
Yeah, that's kind of why I like him so much, is because he's not the sneering, I'm going to murder everyone villain that most villains are.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much just a... handsome. Look at my big muscles.
He's going to murder the Beast.
The Beast was a monster.
But they didn't know the Beast.
Okay. You're walking through Hot Topic. And the first, you see two people walking each way. You see Gaston in a tight tank top walking towards you. And you see a giant lion thing coming at you. Who are you going to fall in love with at first sight? Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Gaston did nothing wrong.
Okay.
Also, I have information that will lead to Gaston's arrest.
That joke is back with you. Okay.
I love that joke.
Remember you texted me once, like, I have information that leads to your kitten's arrest.
I think the best one I've seen in a while, I saw it today, and it's a picture of Glenn from Walking Dead, and it says, I have information that will lead to Hillary Clinton's arrest. And I went, aw. Spoiler alert.
I get it.
Okay, so what's yours?
Mine?
Yes.
I'm going to hit the ground running. Because Asa came so hard with Shredder. And also Gaston. I like Gaston.
Thank you.
I was going to say, originally I had this planned out. Asa asked me last week, he said, is Hank Scorpio going to be on your list? And I said, absolutely Hank Scorpio is going to be on my list. Why wouldn't he be? He's one of the best Simpsons characters. But then I thought, but if you're talking about the Simpsons, all right, Hank Scorpio, Mr. Burns, Sideshow Bob.
We're going to just have to do a favorite Simpsons villains episode.
I couldn't pick between all of them. And I thought, okay, I've got to pick one. And each of them are good in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank Scorpio has to take top. And here's my reasoning for that. It's because even though Mr. Burns is such a great villain, he's been in so many episodes, he's diluted.
Yeah.
Same thing with Sideshow Bob. If it would have been if it had been kept to pretty much the episode where Sideshow Bob turns good, when they're building the dam and he gets the job and he stops wanting to kill Bart, that should have been the end of Sideshow Bob. That should have been the end of his arc. But they kept going with it. I know eventually he got gills and he could walk underwater. It got real weird. But Hank Scorpio has only been in one episode. So he has that one amazing episode and there's nothing to tarnish it.
Yeah.
There's no more Hank Scorpio. In fact, Albert Brooks, who did the voice for Hank Scorpio, has done more episodes of The Simpsons and he's even played bad guys. He was in the movie as Russ Cargill, I think was his name. He was the big guy. But he's never played the same character. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, well, Scorpio was good in that episode, but what about these? No, he's good throughout.
Yeah.
And if you've never seen the episode of The Simpsons where Hank Scorpio gives Homer a new job, I think it's called You Only Move Twice is the name of it, or You Only Move Once. It's one of the best episodes of all time. And Hank Scorpio is hilarious. Asa, have you ever seen a guy say goodbye to a pair of shoes before?
Yeah, once.
So that's my first pick. I would love to talk more about Sideshow Bob because Sideshow Bob is technically my favorite, but after the other episodes where he wasn't as fun, I just couldn't pick
him. And you know what? If you want to go off on another, because last week I totally cheated with God of War 3.
Oh, I just say The Simpsons as a whole?
Kind of, yeah.
I have Simpsons listed.
Yeah.
Because Sideshow Bob has one of my absolute favorite moments in The Simpsons. It's not him, but it's a part about him. It's the episode where he steals the plane and they're at the air show. And it was my favorite joke forever. So the MPs are looking for Sideshow Bob. They open up one of the hangars and this little alien turns around with this glow stick and they're like, careful, he's got his probe. It was just one of my favorite jokes because I'm immature and rectal jokes make me laugh. So Hank Scorpio, God bless you. You're my first pick in the draft. Asa Gray.
My next one is, from the show Supernatural, which we've talked about before.
Yes.
And technically you can make the argument that he's not a villain. Oh, excuse me. Very rude. but I'm going to put him as a villain. And really, it's probably one of my favorite scenes in all of television is the first time we are introduced to Death. Not like one of the just generic Reapers, but Death himself.
Yep.
Jen Titus doing a cover of Oh Death, which I'm so mad that, can that please be the intro song?
Yes.
Okay. Her version of it, which
you can't find
on Spotify. You can find versions of that song, but it's not her version.
You get the Ralph Stanley version, which
is also really good.
Other than the Jen Titus, that is the best. Because I don't know if that's the original, but that's the one I remember the most.
It's a great version.
From Oh Brother Where Art Thou, is where everybody heard it first.
But there's just something that fits so well with her version of the song playing, the slow rolling up of just the old school white Cadillac. He gets out of the car.
Brushes off his shoulder.
Yeah, the guy bumps into him. Hey, watch it, man. He just kind of glances back, brushes his shoulder off. And the man just falls. And that Supernatural is a very much a show don't tell show. Like you will see the monster do the monster thing and why it's scary. And that made Death so much more effective to me because he didn't have to attack him. He didn't have to do anything except for just acknowledge the fact that he wanted this person dead.
Yeah, I always had a problem with that though because Death, like you said, it's debatable whether he's a villain because Death is a natural part of life and he's necessary.
Yeah.
But that scene, and I think that's the only time Death ever has a vendetta and kills somebody just because. But did he? Because maybe that guy was supposed to die.
That might have been just it. And he was just kind of a jerk on his way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I love that scene. That song is so effective. It's so creepy. He's such a low-key charismatic actor.
Yeah.
Too. Like the guy, I can't remember the name of the guy who plays him. I could look it up, but.
He's in a lot of weird movies too.
Yeah.
Like his films that I've seen him in are all really quirky and strange. There's one called Patch Town. If you've never seen it, just watch the trailer.
Sounds weird.
Just watch the trailer. Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, and he gives him a lot of neat quirks, you know, which I mean, him loving junk food. By the end of his arc, by the time they kind of write him out, at least as far, I'm not all the way caught up with the series. Oh, excuse me. So they may bring him back, but I don't think they will. He just kind of seems to have a vendetta against the Winchesters.
As everyone does eventually.
Right. Which you could argue is very much, they're good for business or they're bad for business. It's just whatever he happens to need. But yeah, that intro is just one of my all time favorite scenes in television.
That intro is probably the best. There's two things that I'll just tell the three things. There's two things I remember most from Supernatural. That scene, mm-hmm. And the first time, maybe it's the first time they do The Road So Far in the first season, or maybe it's the second season, and they play Carry On Our Wayward Son, and they have John Winchester in there, and they're like, let's go to work, boys, and they're like, yes, sir, and then it cuts off. Like, that always stuck with me, and that opening scene with Death is classic.
Yeah.
That really set the tone. I think I said last week, because I remember you talking about putting him on the list, and I asked you, or if I didn't ask you, I'm asking you now, which is a better Death? Death from Supernatural? I think I did ask you this. Death from Final Destination?
Though. Yeah, I mean, scarier is Death from Final Destination.
Because you never see him.
Because you, it's a breeze.
Yeah.
That is the definition of just a force of nature trying to correct what was an imbalance.
Right.
There's no bargaining. You can't just be like, oh, here's a Chicago style deep dish pizza.
Here's some fried pickles.
Yeah. Whereas Supernatural Death, he has these, you know, there's a charm about him.
Yeah, like Meet Joe Black.
Yeah. So it's, Final Destination Death is scarier, but I just have a soft spot for it.
I also like the Reapers.
The Reapers are
Supernatural.
Cool.
One of my favorite episodes is the one where Dean, like, makes the deal. Yeah. Or was it, no, Dean, yeah, he makes the deal with Death to become a Reaper for like one day.
Yeah.
And that episode was pretty messed up.
Whenever they're at the opening of that scene in the shop or the gas station, convenience store, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who is it? Watch. No, who is it? Because there's a kid, there's this kindly old man, there's the robber. Like, there's all these different,
it's not easy being Death.
No, yeah. That was a good episode.
Back during its heyday, too. I love Supernatural, but I haven't watched it in so long. The Leviathan really left a bad taste in my mouth. It really did.
Yeah, no, it was bad. Yeah. Well, how do you top Lucifer?
Yeah.
They really, that was very clearly we have an idea for 4 seasons. All right, season 4 is done. You're renewed for 2 more.
What now?
But they
fought Lucifer.
Right.
So.
Well, what else can we think of? There's that scene in one of the episodes where Lucifer kills, like, all the other gods.
Like, oh yeah, when they're
I hated that scene because that's just basically saying that the Christian gods are more powerful than the other gods. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other show. We're not touching that right now. Allie, what's your second pick?
My second one is James P. March from American Horror Story Hotel.
Hunter's gonna like that answer.
Yes,
I still
because
haven't seen it.
I won't spoil too much.
Honestly, I'm not super worried about spoilers because that show is.
I mean, if it's a supernatural character, there's. If it's an American Horror Story character, there's 2 things you can be assured of. It's probably Evan Peters, and he probably dies.
Which, yes, this is Evan Peters'
Ooh, I like
character.
Evan Peters.
Yeah.
I like him so very much.
Best character he has had, I think, in the series.
Did you know in the first season he got... Nope.
Nope, let's not go there.
Not triggering.
But he's a serial killer, and his backstory is that he actually built the hotel to hunt the people and hide them. After he killed them.
Kind of like an H.H. Holmes.
But say, wasn't he based on H.H. Holmes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he then became mentors to other serial killers, and he's just does amazing in his role. I think this is the first role that he actually got to build more of a character, because in most of the seasons, to me, he kind of played the same character with just different reasons to be that character.
Kind of like the handsome young, angsty.
Kind of good guy that you sympathize with, and now he's just a serial killer.
Right.
So that's my number 2, and you're welcome, Hunter.
Yeah, I feel bad because Asa and I, neither of us have seen that season.
Yeah.
And I won't watch it.
I've heard
it.
It's a really good one. I heard it's stronger. It's just Coven was so rough.
I gave American Horror Story 2 chances. The first season, which I watched through completion, and I will watch Roanoke through completion just because.
We just gotta see. Oh, dear Lord.
But Roanoke has gotten me to the point that, like, I watched and I was
rough.
Like, it's back to the way it was in the first season. I don't want to watch it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. The ghost got her pregnant, and now.
Now,
the camera crew is... No, it's so stupid. They get paid to write this, and people lap it up like the dogs you all are.
Yeah, I like...
I mean, we're past 5 minutes. We got their listens.
We got your money now. All right, my number 2 pick is the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt. It's arguable whether or not this is a villain, too, because usually all he does is introduce the stories.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's kind of a zombie who... I would put him as a villain... this is debatable for me, but he's going on my list anyway. He's so funny, and John Cassier did the voice of him. He also did the voice of Deadpool in the old X-Men Legends and Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
But I loved the Crypt Keeper which is amazing because when it first started off, I was terrified of him. That opening scene where you go down the stairway into the mansion and then it shows you the coffin and you know what's about to happen. And I would cover my eyes and I'm not even watching it on HBO. I'm watching the midnight showings on Fox, which were completely edited. No blood, no boobs, nothing. But I know he's about to jump out at me. So I would cover my eyes every time he would come in and I wouldn't open them until I heard the laugh. It wasn't until Demon Knight came out, which by the way is on one of my movies on our 31 movies this year, that I realized how funny he was. He's not just a scary character. He's actually humorous. He's charismatic. He's everything you want in a villain. He's grotesque looking. He's original. I know he's based on the old Vault of Horror of comics, because the Crypt Keeper was back there, and he was also in Creepshow, a version of him. But the HBO version of the Crypt Keeper is fantastic, and he's my number two pick for this list. That's all I got to say about it, because I don't think anyone here really watched Tales from the Crypt.
I did when I was little. They really did kind of freak me out, but my memory of the Crypt Keeper was always, I never really got him when he was still scary. It was always kind of the costumes and the over-the-top. Yeah.
Because he was only really scary in a couple episodes, like the first season. But even then, he had a sense of humor. But it's like they told him.
But it was much more morbid and darker.
Yeah. But then they just told him, go with it. Have fun, baby. Yeah. And he did. There's one intro where Arnold Schwarzenegger directs the episode. So Schwarzenegger and the Crypt Keeper are right next to each other. And that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love it. Anyway, Asa, what do you got for number three?
Number three is clearly the most recent of them. And this is the one that I was torn between. It's gotta be, Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk in Daredevil. Just that performance.
I thought it was gonna be hard to top, Michael Clark Duncan, just for the sheer
size and
brutality him.
Oh, and boy did it.
Yeah.
And that was the thing too, is, you know, I'm used to Wilson Fisk from like the 90s cartoon Spider-Man.
Big fat loudmouth.
Band name. you know, just kind of that immobile, really just very self-confident, very, you know, he is the kingpin.
He's a mob boss.
Yeah, he's the mob boss.
Yeah.
And so going into Daredevil and Vincent D'Onofrio cast as Wilson Fisk, like, okay, that could be fun. Vincent D'Onofrio can be so charismatic and funny.
A great actor.
And that was the direction that I thought it was going to be. Well, first off, you don't get him right away. No. It's like episode two or the end of episode three, I think, is his debut. That scene in the art house.
Yeah, because in two, I want to say it's just a phone call. You hear him, in the speakers.
On Wesley.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wesley was awesome,
Wesley,
too.
Yeah. My heart beats still, my heart.
I'm just 5 second tangent. Mm-hmm. What happened to him made me hate Karen Page, and I will never stop hating her. I can't stand to see her on TV now.
I can see that. But yeah, so his Wilson Fisk, that aura of, we don't say his name. You know, the hitman that gives up his name, and he's like, you don't understand. I'm already dead. And then
shoves his face into a spike. Yeah. You really need to watch this show, Allie.
I know.
Oh, it's so good. That kind of, agoraphobic, I think that's the right one, of just scared of being out in the world. And
he's very neurotic.
He's so neurotic.
Yeah.
And quiet, but still commanding.
Also incredibly polite.
Oh, yeah.
Respectful.
100%. Yeah. Like, but then the car door scene.
Oh, my God.
There is a fury and a strength, and
that's what I loved about him in that role, was that he was so well written in the sense that he was so mature and laid back until you made him mad. If you hurt someone he loved or, you know, disrespected him, he was so vicious. Like, and it was completely believable.
Oh, yeah.
Because he very much had that trauma of his father and as a kid not being able to protect, you know, his mother. So he had that almost childlike anger. That if you did something bad to him, he lashed out like a child.
Yeah.
Except this child is huge.
And strong. And
can bust your head wide open.
Yeah.
In a car door.
All of his fight scenes.
Till you're dripping with goo.
All of his fight scenes are so great. So,
he was such a better villain than season two.
And him in season two even.
Yeah. The prison scenes.
Like, he stole every episode he was in.
Yeah.
And it kind of, when they went to zombie ninjas, like, really?
I think my favorite part of season two, and maybe of the entire series, was the meeting between Matt Murdock and Wilson Fisk in prison. When Murdock knew he couldn't fight back because it would expose him.
Yeah.
And Wilson Fisk just beat the crap out of him. That was scary.
Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio as angry Wilson Fisk is terrifying.
Right.
Allie, you really need to watch this show.
I know.
Stop saying you know and watch it.
I know.
You're watching American Suck Story. You could be watching Daredevil. Story. Good choice.
Allie?
Okay. So for this one, it's from Stranger Things.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we watched it together. It's, I guess it's Eleven's like dad character. You kind of.
Oh, Matthew Modine.
The scientist.
The government agent guy. That kind of acts like a awful, awful father to her that puts her through tests and tells her, makes her do all these things that are awful.
Brainwashed her.
While pretending that he loves her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost like a Joker Harley kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Matthew Modine too. He's the actor that played him. I liked him more than I liked the monster.
Yeah, I feel
he
like
he was the monster.
He was the monster.
He is the monster.
Yes.
He was the real villain. The monster was just the thing that they were trying to research, that they were trying to control.
Yeah.
In this other world.
Because what's more terrifying? I mean, obviously a monster is terrifying, but a monster is also mysterious. You don't know its purpose. Whereas a human being who knows what they're doing and is manipulating and, you know, tormenting can be so much scarier.
Yeah.
Because that torment is worse than just some monster ripping you in half.
Especially thinking that.
Saying that, never having a monster rip me in half.
Yeah.
Character.
I drank a monster once that ripped my stomach in half. You know what I mean? Geez. Got this hernia now. Named it Henry.
Yes, that is true.
That's true.
He did that.
So yeah, he was.
I'm sorry.
I think I had to ask you, like, wait, he got his, right?
Yeah.
Like, cause I couldn't remember because I think I was just too busy celebrating really remember. Like, and it was so quick too.
Yeah. So like, spoiler alert for the people that haven't seen Stranger Things. First off, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch it. But skip the next like 30 seconds or so if you haven't. He did die. And if I remember correctly, he died protecting her. Like, he was like, go. I'll stay and fight.
No, because I think he protected her just from the fact that that was his job.
Like, I don't believe that he loved her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that he was like a father figure going, no, I'll protect you. But he did die protecting her for whatever reason. And he got killed and they ran. So it's almost like I couldn't tell if they were going for a redemption. But if they were going for a redemption, it was way too fast.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
They weren't doing a redemption, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think
so. If there was no redemption, to me, his death was just kind of...
Thrown out there.
It was thrown away. And I feel like they should have kept him around for season two, which they might. You never know in a show like this.
Yeah, what you could don't. Happen. You, yeah.
Good show, too. We watched that. We marathoned that together.
Yes,
me and you.
We did.
A lot of fun. Good show.
Yeah.
I love Winona Ryder. I always had the biggest crush on her. Hunter Hendricks, right now, hit the Shannon had a crush button. Like every girl. Okay.
Who's your third?
My third is Marcy Darcy from Married with Children.
Marcy.
Oh, God.
I don't have a lot to say about Marcy Darcy because, again, this is another debatable, is it a villain? But to Al Bundy, yes.
From Al Bundy's perspective, most certainly.
Absolutely a villain. And, I mean, I don't think you have to say anything about Marcy Darcy. If you watch Married with Children, you know exactly who I'm talking about. She was the little chicken woman who Al made fun of constantly. Just look up on YouTube, like, Married with Children, Marcy, and watch her best of clips. Cause I don't know what's funnier. The chicken pecking, the when she would go crazy and get all sexual and then be smoking a cigarette after. It's hilarious. And even though she never did anything, you know, cruel to Al that I can remember, I might be missing some episodes, she was a good foil for him.
Oh, yeah.
Which she usually won because Al never won.
No.
That was why we loved him. Or in Allie's case, tolerates him while I watch clips. But Marcy is my second pick, or third pick. And again, not a lot to say. You know who I'm talking about. Cue up the James Bond music. You know her name. Go down to the record books. Asa, what's your number four?
So I'm gonna do this one now because I can't end on him because it's legitimately gonna make me cry.
Is this the one?
Bobby Heenan, the Brain.
Yeah. Allie, who's your number four? No.
No.
I'm trying to spare you.
I mean, that's fair. Because Bobby Heenan had so many roles. It was back in a time, I've always been a fan of wrestling managers. Paul Bearer was actually the first one that really kind of sprung to mind because he worked with The Undertaker. And then Kane, who was my first real pro wrestling love.
You have a love relationship with Kane.
Yeah. So, but then going back and like, as I got more familiar with older wrestling stuff, there's always this guy who seemed to bring every big name bad guy. He was always there.
Yeah.
At least once. He was always there.
With the Heenan family.
With the Heenan family. Yeah. And then the farther back I watched, oh, he's on commentary. This poor guy who turned out to be Gorilla Monsoon, who I didn't know at the time, like, oh, will you stop? Is just, it's such the great, it's the perfect answer. It's the only answer.
I feel so bad for the people that watch wrestling now. I mean, hearing, as much as we love Corey Graves,
mm-hmm.
Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton
mm-hmm.
versus Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan.
Or even go just for a year ago back, Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole.
Yeah. The last great one to me, and I know you don't like Jerry Lawler, but I thought Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross together was a good team.
Because Jim Ross reined him in.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And before that, even Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan was really, really good on Nitro.
Yeah. I never liked Schiavone.
Oh, I didn't either. Even and though neither did Bobby Heenan.
Even though it was the greatest night in the history of our sport, I really wasn't a huge fan of Tony
Every
Schiavone. Night.
We have more drunk people walking
Every
behind
Every Tuesday
us.
Night.
What is happening?
I don't Thirsty understand. Tuesdays.
Thirsty every day.
But yeah, so, but Bobby Heenan was just the funniest. But like, he was funny in a way that the crowd knew he was funny, but he was still being so disrespectful and rude that they couldn't help but boo him.
You know, today, with today's fan base and today's fans, Bobby Heenan would get cheered every time he came out.
I don't think he would.
I don't think they could turn him heel.
I think he would eventually, but I very much think that, I mean, look at Paul Heyman. With the exception of being in Brock Lesnar's hometown, which we will get into tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, I genuinely think that Bobby Heenan could get any crowd to boo him. Or if he wanted him to cheer them, they would cheer him. Because the people always did whatever he wanted.
Yeah. Master manipulator.
I was looking up quotes of his, like, if a poor person does it, it's crazy, but if a rich person does it, they're eccentric. I had a list pulled up, but then it legitimately upset me because
it did. Can't verify.
I'll get there in a second.
Please don't.
I have to. But some of the names that he managed: Andre the Giant, Big John Studd, Hercules, Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, that was the one I always remembered.
Rick Rude, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Mr. Perfect already said, Harley Race, Haku the Giant. Andre the Giant, I mean, he did the Wild Samoans.
He had the best stable.
He had the best
Heenan
stable.
The Heenan family was the quintessential, especially in WWF.
Right.
The quintessential stable.
And I'll give, you know, we talk about CCW quite a bit, but that's kind of the vibe that I get from the Pinnacle. Jeff O'Dell. It's very much less a, oh, we're bad guys and we have the same goal, so we're all friends, as much as, oh no, this guy's paying me for my services.
To win.
And this guy is paying me for my services. Yeah. So now I can be like, oh, well, you know, well, he needs me, so I'm going to use this other guy on my roster. And that was always the coolest thing to me about it, because they haven't really done anything like that since then.
No,
at least
every
not
manager,
on mainstream TV.
Yeah. And what really gets me about Bobby Heenan, he started as a wrestler.
Yeah.
He was a wrestler, and not a terrible wrestler, but he's one of those guys that really found his footing as a manager and then as a commentator. And I was always sad that they had him do commentary eventually, and that's all he did later in life. But he was so good at it that, I mean, he was good at everything he did.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby Heenan will go down as the best manager of all time. I have no doubt.
I absolutely think so.
And that's a long list of people. You know, you mentioned
Paul Heyman. Right up there with him.
Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. I know all he did was he had a megaphone and screamed into it, but that was iconic.
Right.
Freddie Blassie. Yeah, there's so many of them. Yeah. But Bobby Heenan's the best.
A friend in need is a pest. Are there any swamps in Oklahoma? Yeah. It's called Tulsa. I'm a legend in this sport. If you don't believe me, ask me. I like that one. And then, have you ever been to Glens Falls? The city limits signs are on the same post. Just little things, like little digs. He was so good getting under every audience's skin.
Do you remember the gimmick Battle Royal they had at WrestleMania years back? And mm-hmm. him and Gene Okerlund were the commentary for it?
Yeah.
There was a part where Repo Man comes out, and Gene Okerlund says, I think he got my mother-in-law last summer. Something like that. And Bobby Heenan goes, everyone got your mother-in-law last summer. It's just stuff like that. It's like, just so quick with it. He was so smart.
And I have to mention it because I have to. I want to get not PG so badly, but just absolute big middle finger to the universe.
Yeah.
Because the man who made everyone fall in love with him and is just so talented talking gets throat cancer and mouth cancer and loses, the bottom part of his jaw.
Much like Roger Ebert.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And his Hall of Fame speech from a few years ago where he just, So Fally, what's your fourth one? Cause I'm,
You're tearing up a little bit.
I am because everything it's about it.
It's that part of the universe so that's cruel, so inhumanly cruel.
And this is someone who, like, Paul Ellering's back in NXT.
Yeah.
Like, you could do, like, there is room for Bobby Heenan today.
Because he's not that old. I'm looking it up right now.
He's really not.
I want to say he's in his 60s, maybe?
Yeah, he's like mid-60s, lower 70s.
71.
Yeah.
71. And what I really hate, you know, there's a lot of pictures of him going around at the conventions and stuff. You know, he's still out there because he's still doing it as hard as he can, which is a credit to Bobby Heenan. But the fans that make fun of him for his appearance, like, I've read people say he looks like a Muppet and stuff like that. And, like, this is why I don't like the internet, because no one would say that in person to him.
Yeah.
They would bow down at his feet and kiss it.
Yeah.
But you big shot behind your keyboard and you want to
make a joke about
someone who had throat cancer.
Yeah.
You're despicable. And that's why I hate people.
Yeah.
People are the worst villain, just as a whole, humanity.
Yeah. That's why they're not on the list, because this is favorite villains.
Yeah. That's Bobby why cancer's Heenan, not on the list.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Yeah, cancer's an MF-er. It's a dick, Allie. Is that a term you used?
I mean, it was fitting for Gaston.
And with those muscles, I bet he had a... Allie, who's your fourth?
Okay, so for my fourth, it's one of the characters from my favorite book, 13 Reasons Why. This book is full of people that could be on this list, but I'm picking one that I think is very key to the story and why it is a thing. Cause basically the story is this girl, a teenage high school girl, commits suicide, but before she does, she records tapes that are 13 reasons why she did it. And they're connected to people, and she sends them to those people. And they have to listen to it and pass it on. And if they don't, then the tapes get released. And we are listening the tapes through Clay, who is another high schooler that got the tapes. And his story is really interesting, but that's not the person. The person is Mr. Porter, is a counselor at the school. And so he is a key part in why she did what she did. Because while everyone else on the tapes, more or less, did something to her that caused her to be in the state she was in, he basically got told, I'm going to commit suicide, and let her leave the door. So, yeah.
So he didn't do anything to her, he just let her die.
Basically. He was the one person that she went to talk to, and you figure out that she basically says, I'm thinking about this, I'm in such a low place. And he says, well, basically, you need to move on. And that's when she gets upset and leaves. And he doesn't follow her.
Does he get any comeuppance?
I mean, we only hear... I mean, in the book, you don't hear his part of it. You don't hear after if someone further down the line doesn't pass on the tapes and it gets out. You could maybe one of the people that listens to the tape does something, you just know from when Clay gets the tapes to when he sends them off.
Hmm. Sounds like a very depressing book. And you
it
said
is.
That they're going to make that into a TV show?
They have a Netflix miniseries for it. So I think it's just like 13 episodes that covers each tape. I'm really excited for that. There's also going to be a 10th anniversary edition because the author originally had it a different ending to the book, where she lived, and he changed it because he felt like it wasn't going to go as well for his message he wanted to get out on.
More impactful.
Yeah. It was heavier on the shoulders of the readers. And so I'm excited to hear how he originally had the book fall at the end.
Jeez.
It's a hard book.
Both of
but
you.
It's,
just
it's,
two of in a row.
It's my... because. It was
Thanks.
One of the, I don't read often, but this was one book that I picked up and hardly put it down until I was done reading it.
And I'll watch that series when it comes out.
We should watch it together.
We will watch it together. My fourth is also kind of depressing, but I don't think nearly as much as yours. And Lindsay will like this one, Sapphire from Sailor Moon, our season. Just a quick history. So basically, there are these people who live on the Black Moon, which is like it's like a wasteland kind of thing.
Is that the Bad Moon?
It's They call the regular moon's the white moon.
Japan.
Hold on. The regular moon's like the white moon, and because it's full of life and it's a bright shining star. The black moon is kind of like.
Is it a moon or is it a star? Because those are.
Okay, it's bright and shining like one. And then the black moon is the place where they send outcasts. It's like a terrible place. Mm-hmm. They get jealous. They want to have what the white moon has. So they fall under the spell of this evil. It gets worse. They fall under the spell of this evil being called Wise Man, who in, America was Wise Man. I think in Japan it was called like the, no, America was the Doom Phantom. I don't know. It gets weird.
Doom Phantom.
Yeah, America renamed a lot of stuff stupid. And okay, you want to hear the bad part? The bad part is Chibiusa, who is Rini in the American version, becomes like one of the bad guys in this season and kind of grows up. And in America, they call her Wicked Lady. You know what she's called in Japan? Black Lady. Can you see why they changed the name?
Yeah.
Well, Sapphire is the younger brother of Prince Diamond, who is like the ruler of the Black Moon. And he goes along with the plan, even though he's not truly evil, he still does what he's told because he loves his brother. And then eventually, when he finds out that Wise Man is corrupting him and is influencing him and only cares about himself and is going to betray them, he tries to warn his brother. And in the process, Wise Man kills him. And I remember that being one of the times that I was legit sad when a character died in an anime. They have this whole thing where he's in love with this one woman and he gives her his jacket before he leaves for the final time. And then when he dies, you see the jacket kind of fall off her door. It's kind of symbolic that he's gone. Mm-hmm. And it just made me really sad that he passed away. And we talked about, we love those redemption stories and those characters that have layers.
Right.
To me, he was one of the most layered villains on Sailor Moon because he wasn't truly a bad guy. He just wanted what was best for his people. And when he found out that the person that was influencing his people was truly evil, he tried to turn good and was destroyed for it. Mm-hmm. So I always liked that. And that always struck a place with me. So I pick Sapphire from Sailor Moon R, even though there was a lot of great villains in Sailor Moon R. And a lot of great villains in Sailor Moon. Not in Dragon Ball. That show sucks. Anyway.
Dragon Ball. Throw that out there.
All right. So let's get to the fan feedback real quick before we get to the main one, because I like the way we did that last time. going down the list here, and thank you guys for posting, even though I posted this 10 minutes before we started recording the show. Dalton Anthony, you guys may remember from, I think he used to be on, like, Pentanerd or something. There's the best villain, Podbean. Shh, they might hear this. Dalton Anthony says, Chris Jericho during his feud with Shawn Michaels in 2008, 2009. Everything about his character at the time was so great. He slowed his talking down along with being really quiet to make fans listen. Changed almost everything about his style, long tights to short, not pandering to the fans or cracking jokes, just serious promos and a more calculated wrestling style. He really lived up to the catchphrase of being the best in the world at what he does. I think that Jericho said that's his favorite.
It's one of my favorites because that was the feud with Shawn Michaels.
Was such a big change in his character.
It killed Y2J for the longest time, killed the highlight reel. That was also the amazing tag team run with Big Show.
Yeah.
Jericho, which was one of my favorite entrance musics of all time.
Yep.
He, you know, monosyllabic. I can't remember the actual troglodytes. Monosyllabic troglodytes. He just really did such a great job of going after the crowd.
Reinvented himself, really.
100%.
That was probably my favorite Jericho too, because I always liked Chris Jericho, but the whole "come on, baby" thing could only last so long before it got stale.
Yeah.
And unlike people like X-Pac, who just did the same thing for his whole career, Jericho reinvented himself, much like Edge did, much like John Cena did, to an extent. So I agree with that. Allie, do you like Chris Jericho?
Yes.
Good. Or else you would have made
the list.
I follow him on Instagram.
Of course you do. Of course you do, honey. I'm very famous. Nate Smith says his favorite book villain is for sure Lord Voldemort. That's how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah.
From Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I'm not doing a joke.
No, it is. Might just be the only book he's ever read, though.
No, I think he read Mein Kampf. He's so terrifying and menacing. Boom!
Got him.
he needs to read How to Catch a Predator and avoid it. Anyway, I'm done. Done. Hunter Hendricks, Double H. I'm so sorry, Hunter. The Trinity Killer from Dexter, aka the last great season of that show.
Last season of that show. Correction. Also, almost made that was almost on my list too.
I'm glad. You know what? I didn't see this. I have not read these answers, mm-hmm. so I didn't know he was picking this. This one was actually going to be on my list. I took it off at the last second. John Hammond in the Jurassic Park novel, wildly different from the film version. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
He was on my list because I thought he was a great, like Malcolm said in the movie. You thought so much of Could You didn't think should you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is a great villain, one that doesn't mean to be evil, mm-hmm. but just ends up destroying things, you know? So that's a good pick. And Kevin Owens, well on his way to becoming an all-time great heel.
So
not Jim Cornette's eyes.
That fake Bobby Heenan Twitter that popped up and someone asked him who's his favorite person and he said Kevin Owens. And then the comment thread that led to, okay, 2016 Heenan family, Kevin Owens and the Revival. So upset that we don't get to see that.
And you need a big guy in there. Strowman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. To fill that Andre role.
Oh, yeah.
Michael McBride, MC, love you to death. I don't know if you call them villains, but maybe the Titans from Attack on Titan. I could see that.
So I still need to watch that. I know
I've not watched the show, but I am aware of what they are.
Yeah.
And they are truly terrifying.
Yep. Again, like more like that force of nature.
Yeah. And he said spoilers for the next bit. Spoilers. Okay. It's revealed that the Titans eat humans just because instinct. They don't actually need to consume food. They're indestructible, creepy giants whose only goal is to kill humans. Yes, yeah. But I also hate characters like that, the ones that have no reason to do the things that they do, and they just do it because the creator's trying to shock you.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I worry that some of our favorite monsters, like the aliens, the xenomorphs, kind of fall into that category of, well, okay, do they need to kill everyone so often? You know, I mean, like, if they're just feeding or whatever, do they have to get everybody? But whatever. Anyway, good choice, MC. Lindsay Wolfgang says, she's taking the TV route, Crowley from Supernatural. And I know that was one that
was one we talked about.
Bloody sidekick.
Love Crowley. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad he stuck around for so long.
Yeah.
Rumpelstiltskin / Mr. Gold from Once Upon a Time. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I love the actor too mm-hmm. that plays him. Both are very manipulative and get what they want, and yet cowardly as hell at their core. They both are pretty good at spinning deals to their advantage. And the last one she picked, she asked me if she should, and I said absolutely. Heidi Klum from Project Runway.
What?
I hate Heidi Klum.
Context, or is it just she's just a meanie?
She's a meanie, and
I got you to say
meanie.
I personally hate her because every episode she says the exact same thing, and you know, in fashion, one day you're in, the next day you're out, and it's the taglines. I get it,
mm-hmm.
but God, in a show that has Tim Gunn, she's clearly the devil, and he is God. He is a gay, well dressed God. Love him. And Michael McBride followed up with definitely Rumpel. You never know what he's gonna do next. Good choice. Aaron Picard. Oh boy. Here we go, fans. Buckle in. Robert Mitchum's characters in Night of the Hunter and Cape Fear. Absolutely. The upper respiratory sickness that my little one has right now. No arguments there. Decaf coffee. Absolutely. Yes! Yes! Doug!
I disagree with that one. Just because I sometimes want a coffee-flavored sugar milk drink, but I don't want to be wired.
And there are people that need decaf coffee.
What?
I mean, there are people that can't have regular caffeinated coffee.
Yeah, we call them Nazis.
I don't think we do. You got a mouse in your pocket? You got a racist mouse in your pocket?
I call them Adolf Squeakers.
Oh, that's almost adorable.
Lindsay, I need you to draw a little Nazi mouse named Adolf Squeakers. Conspiracy theorist Jericho.
Ooh. Conspiracy theorist Jericho?
Yeah.
Like from the...
I'm trying to think of which version of Jericho he's talking about.
I'm blanking on it.
That's twice Jericho's made our list.
Yeah.
Dalton, you have to give us some context on that one.
Yeah.
Windows Vista. I actually disagree. I liked Vista. Hate me. You can hate me now. I still hate Christian Lattner, Stan Kroenke. I don't know who that is. And DRM. DRM, absolutely.
100%.
Yup. Tanner Calvert, Big T from Tanner Thursdays. Reverse Flash.
Oh, I'm assuming the TV show.
Harrison Wells.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
I thought about that one. But the way they kind of do stuff with that, it was weird to me. I don't know.
I know a lot of other people that have seen Flash also liked Reverse Flash.
The only problem
or disliked him, I guess you would say.
The only thing that I have with the only problem I have with that show is just kind of how they handle some of the time travel stuff, which is such a heavy part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he was really good / evil.
Wednesday from American Gods. It's a good book.
I almost put Loki.
Really?
From American Gods.
And Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter, I'm assuming?
Yes.
And I'm not making a joke. I've watched a little bit of Harry Potter. I've never read the books. Nothing against them. I just haven't yet. It's like Daredevil to Allie. Just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
Got more important things to do, like watch David S. Pumpkins about 20 more times.
Spoiler alert for Shannon's number one.
I couldn't put him as a villain. I love him too much. He's his own thing.
And what are the skeletons?
Part of it. Aaron Powell says Gus from Breaking Bad. I like Gus in Breaking Bad, yeah.
Yes.
My personal favorite TV villain, yeah. Played by... I'm bad with names. Gus Fring was his name, right? Fring. And it was the well-dressed African-American gentleman, right?
Yes.
Played by... I just love saying his name. Giancarlo Esposito. Love that guy.
Also, which was really kind of shocking for me, because he was also Pierce's long-lost like half-brother in Community. So it's, which in an entirely different role, but his speaking and the way he dressed was identical. So that was just, that was real weird.
His death scene also was one of, I think, the most classic deaths on TV.
So I was living in Virginia. I was watching this with my aunt and uncle, and that scene and the way he stepped out
and fixed his tie.
I legitimately was just like, no way. Cause you want to see it so bad.
Yeah.
And then, but then it doesn't happen and you're just like, what?
So I know you've never seen Breaking Bad, right? But have you seen the figure of Gus Fring?
The like because the pop vinyl has been around. I've seen the pop vinyl. A few
There's
times.
Two versions of it: the one where he's fixing his tie, and the other version where half his face is blown off, and you see skull and stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how he dies. He walks out, fixes his tie, and just drops dead.
Because and the but the camera's showing you only see his good face.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. but he's not going full Harvey Dent. And then it kind of like circles around, and you see that, and then he just crumples. Oh, it's such a good scene.
It is. That's like death from Supernatural. That's just one of the all-time classics right there.
Yep.
That's a good choice, Aaron. J.R. Davis. Aaron, by the way, hopefully we'll see this weekend at CCW. J.R. Davis. King Ramses from that one episode of Courage the Coward the Dog. Over my head.
Return
Never watched it.
The slab.
Hey, it's
just a creepy.
Any iteration of Ra's al Ghul. I don't know if I can ever say Ra's. Ra's doesn't sound right to me, but you know who I'm talking about. Mark Hamill's Joker. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Any Dragon Ball Z villain, suck it, JR. Particularly Vegeta and Cell. I liked Vegeta, I won't lie. I thought Vegeta was cool. Cell was pretty cool too. Dragon Ball Z also had great villains like the Spice Boys.
Kidney Force.
And Boo, and King Boo, and Fat Boo, and Jimmy Boo, and I don't know the rest of their names.
And Evil Boo.
And Pumpkin
Boo. In case you didn't know.
Odin Quincannon, as depicted in AMC's Preacher. I still haven't watched that show. I need to. Because I've actually seen the comic. I've read a little bit of it. And I want to watch the show. I just haven't got around to it. But I will. Ethan Craigmiles posted, even though he's right next to us. I don't even know when he had the time. Honestly, favorite villain for me has to be Gruntilda from Banjo-Kazooie. The way she mocks you throughout the adventure, all of her dialogue rhymes, and the final fight with her was absolutely great. Definitely the most memorable villain from video games for me. Good choice. And then Billy Wolfert. Oh my God. These guys are just posting behind us. Going more monster than villain, but they do have intelligence to plan things out. I am honestly surprised this is the first time we've seen this reference on the show. The Weeping Angels from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I ever saw from Doctor Who, by the way, Billy. And I don't remember who showed it to me. It may have been Louie, actually. But it didn't scare me, but I could see why they were scary.
They're super unset. Like, the final result of them always kind of left me underwhelmed. How they just, they remove you from the current timeline. They, like, displace you in time and then eat that energy that is left behind of where you would be. Like, that just seemed
definitely
too,
a weirder ending than I expected.
Yeah, to me, that just felt almost too complicated. But no, their execution of just that don't blink.
Yeah.
Don't even blink. Because
then they're just right in front of you.
You blink, you're dead.
That's
just
pretty creepy. Yeah.
So,
Which Billy goes on to say, a species that looks like statues can only move around when you aren't looking, trying to send you back in time to make energy for them to feed on.
Yeah.
So thanks, Asa.
I did it. So what happens when I don't read the comments? There was an awesome Weeping Angel Easter egg in Marvel Legends, when you go down to the Hall of Doom, or no, was it, maybe it was DC, it must have been DC if it was the Hall of Doom, but you go down to one of the villain's lair in one of those Lego superhero games, and there, at the end of one of the levels, there is a, there's an angel statue, and if you leave and go, if you leave the screen and come back, it's in a different position. It was cool.
You know what I'm surprised no one ever picked? Unless you guys picked it. Mom from Futurama?
Mm-mm. No.
That'd be a good choice.
She was never my favorite. She just kind of like that initial kind of surprise of, oh no, she's just like an evil lady was neat. But then after every other episode and you know what she really is and it's just like, she actively tried to take over the world one time and no one seems to care.
No one's calling her out on it.
Yeah.
That's fine. All right. Thank you guys for the feedback. We're going to go a little late on the show. We own the network, and it's the last episode, so why not? Asa, what is your top one?
My number one, miscellaneous villain.
Yes.
Is the word anonymous. No.
Don't say anonymous. They will track us down.
No.
And they will shut the show down.
The word, because I don't understand English.
Stupid idiot.
Dang it. I deserved it.
Allie, what did you just make?
The list?
I did make a list. And number one on my list is from the book by Cormac McCarthy, Blood Meridian, and it's Judge Holden. I don't even have words to describe this guy.
I'm going to let you finish, mm-hmm. but I have to say this. The first time you told me that name, mm-hmm. my brain did not register correctly. His name's Judge Holden, right?
Yes.
I thought you said Judge Reinhold. And I thought, how could anyone hate Judge Reinhold?
I don't.
You were looking at
is.
Me like, who the hell is Judge Reinhold?
Yeah, I don't know who Judge
Have
Reinhold
you ever
is.
Seen Gremlins, the first movie?
Yes.
He was the dick friend banker that was bragging about how he was going to be super rich someday. He was also Billy in Beverly Hills Cop.
It's been too long.
Oh, I'll show you a picture.
But no, not him.
Good. He's a treasure.
No, Judge Holden. He is just the definition of menacing. And there are so many different aspects that make him like that. Blood Meridian, I want to recommend people read Blood Meridian because it is really good, but you don't feel good after you read it. A lot of really terrible stuff happens. The game that I like to play was, oh, we introduced a new character. What unspeakable horror will they either commit or will have committed upon them? Because that's pretty much what the book is.
Those are my favorites.
It's set in like the Old West, Wild West times. I don't know the exact time frame. But there's this character who kind of follows, for lack of a better term, our protagonist around. He is the main foil. He runs around with this gang of, killers and criminals, which you could make the argument that he was probably actually, the leader of that group. I'm trying to find my note here. But so he is borderline supernatural. You never actually see him, or it's never flat out said that he does anything completely outside of the realm of possibility. He is terrifyingly tall, unnaturally tall, so like he's like 7 foot supposedly, incredibly pale, pale skinned. He's defined as never tried his hand at something that he didn't seem to be clever at, so he's just really good. At one point he accuses a, like, beloved reverend of doing something terrible, and the townspeople don't even question it. When he speaks, he has this authority, that is scary and unmatched. And, I had a quote that I'm gonna just kind of ramble on until I find it. He is.
I remember this quote.
Yeah, I showed you because I had to, I'm going to be building it up too much now.
No, that's a great quote. We dispose of two perfectly good quotes to make way for this quote. I'm stalling for time.
I know. I give up. But so
do not give up.
Oh no, like I found it. Okay. But so but the quote is because he's violent, he's incredibly violent. He has no problem just killing someone just because he can. But he enjoys it. But he's also somewhat like scientific about it. Like it kind of reminded me of like all the atrocities done in the name of science. Like, oh, well, what if I do this terrible thing to this person?
Because like Unit 731 in Japan during World War II.
Yeah. Like he's just genuinely curious about the world.
Look that one up, kids.
And he's just so unsettling as a character. But the quote that hit me when I read it the first time and like I completely forgot about it until I saw it again. Whatever in creation exists without my knowledge exists without my consent. Which.
Is it a book quote or a Trump quote? You tell us.
But he really is just that sort of unspeakably, he's just scary. Like there's nothing redeemable about him. He doesn't, as far as I remember, he does not have a tragic backstory. He is just evil incarnate.
He's evil for the sake of being evil.
Yeah, but he's amazing at it. And he gave me the creeps.
I like the sound of that. Like that sounds like a good villain.
Yeah.
I hope they make a movie based on it and it's on Netflix. Because I don't have time to read.
I don't know if I'd want to watch that movie.
Who would you get to play him in a movie?
I don't even know.
Couldn't like, even start
I,
to think?
No, because I have this picture of him in my head that I just, I don't even, I couldn't describe it or could attribute it to just like one actor.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Allie?
Okay, so my last one is from like my favorite TV show. It's Yang from the show Psych. She is played by the, you probably know the actress name.
I like this name.
The Breakfast Club, dark hair.
Oh God.
Not Molly Ringwald.
No, it's she something.
You've done this before. But basically, she starts out.
S-H-E-E.
Ally Sheedy.
That's it. Ally Sheedy. Thank you. Okay. See? I knew she.
But the character Yang is introduced.
Oh, because it's played by a girl named Ally. Go figure.
I actually didn't know her name was Ally.
All the best villains in life start with Ally.
Not Judge Holden.
Ally Holden. That's his first name.
But you're introduced to the character and you have no idea who it is because it's just notes. It's a detective show. So you don't really know the person. And then it becomes more exposed and you figure out that there is a lot more with her and that she is actually connected to Sean, the main character of the show, from like years back. And this is also leads into it. It becomes very personal for Sean. And one, it's a great show and they took it off Netflix. So Netflix is the real villain.
Netflix is the number one. Well, no, but it's not your favorite villain.
No.
Well, but, I mean, you we do love Netflix it. Though. Yeah.
It's just, they took it off Netflix and I'm really upset about it.
You were. I remember when they took it off. You were very sad.
Yeah.
Kind of like King of the Hill and Us. We were all like, no.
How dare you?
Netflix. Netflix, you the real Trump. I don't know.
Netflix is useful.
So my final one, I've got two answers. The one's the safe answer and one is the true answer. We'll go over both of them. True answer first. I tried to think of what is the most horrific, torturous, unspeakable villain that I enjoy and love the most. And I came up with the perfect answer. Ready for this? My brain. Mr. 100's brain is the most villainous creation.
I knew you were going to connect it to you.
Well, that's because it's true. Nothing puts me through more torture and more hell in life than my own brain and my own insecurities, my own bad thoughts. If you know me personally, you know that the happy-go-lucky personification that jokes about his dead parents and how depressed and miserable and poor he is a facade, and I'm actually not that happy. To get the joke, was that? Okay. So my brain is the true answer because that is the best villain. Because no matter how much it screws me over and makes my life miserable, I need it and I kind of like it because I have a lot of naked women memories. And sometimes those will come up and it makes me happy. But then sometimes they have Dalton's face and I get the Y boner. So long, kids. Hopefully you're not listening to this anymore. You said dick earlier.
Yeah, I didn't say the word boner.
What's more offensive? Never mind. They're the same thing. Here's my safe answer. Boogeyman from the Real Ghostbusters. Again, favorite villains, not best villains. When he comes out of the closet and Egon sees him and he goes, I think he literally says, I might be familiar with it, but he goes like, egads. Not you. Not again. And then Boogeyman gets that, I remember you. So creepy. As a child, that scared me. And not only that, but the Real Ghostbusters as a cartoon as a whole was legitimately terrifying in parts. Some of those monsters were really scary and creepy.
I remember like, I don't know if it's just like me remembering this now or like having forgot the character design of him, but I remember being much more intimidated as a child. Of the boogeyman. And like the hype that was surrounding him because they were building up to him coming back, weren't they?
Yeah. Cause he was one of the most memorable villains from the show.
But no, I mean like on the show itself, whenever he came, like when he first debuted.
Oh, later? Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember just being really underwhelmed with how he looked.
It's
cause he's got that big old head.
He got a big old head and lipstick and a little bow tie. He's a very strange design. Mm-hmm. What really set me off for it, because you have to remember, you know, he was a design of his times. I'm sure in the '80s, that was creepy and it is creepy. If you saw that in real life, you would be afraid of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But
what's really scary is look up fan art of him. like people that have modernized him.
I actually think we have done this before.
We have.
Not on the show. But,
and I'm going to put one of his modern looks as the picture for the show. It's legitimately terrifying. There's one picture I remember in particular that like is actually frightening. There's not many creatures that I've seen that like make me afraid. The Xenomorph from Alien is one of them. There's a fantastic picture of a Wendigo I saw once that inspired a story I was writing of this just deer monster that scared me. And the Boogeyman fan art scares me. Legit scares me.
I think I found the one that you were talking about.
That's the one.
That's the guy that'll be there. So that's the picture of the episode.
Yeah, that is legit creepy. If that came out of your closet, if that came out of your closet anyway, if anyone comes out of your closet that you don't know, that's scary.
That's already a problem.
Yeah. But if it's a giant headed, and it's not a ghost either. That's the thing. It's like they can't really fight him with the proton packs because he's not a ghost. They can't catch him. All they can do is, you can't stop me. You can only hope to contain me.
Right.
Like Jones' big ass truck rental and storage.com would say. Okay. We hope you enjoyed Villains Month. We're going to stop at about an hour 15. That's a good stopping point.
Yeah.
It's been a great month. Oh, again, we want to thank Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri for sponsoring this show and for showing us love. We want to show you just that much love back. We want to thank the fans for listening and giving us your input. The Podzilla guys, the fans, everybody. It's been a fun month. I look forward to doing another theme month at some other point. But this is the final episode of Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man Villainous Month. And we couldn't have been happier with it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Villainous Grounds. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Asa. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you, Billy. Thank everyone.
Everybody.
Y'all the real MVPs. Give yourself a round of applause. I'll give you the old Barry Windham. No, not Barry Windham. What was his name? Oh,
I'm
no.
blanking on
We're
it.
We're not leaving until we think of the name. He used to pat himself. Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz.
Done and out. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted with special guest, CCW honcho, Jason Wells. We'll be here in the studio. He's going to talk about CCW with us. It's going to be great. They got their show this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for that. We'll see you guys tomorrow with that episode. Have a great night.